shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
The only thing standing in the way of you winning...
I and my colleagues in the Hispanic Congressional Caucus...
Sir, can we talk to you about the noose and the sign you've got on your garage?
Isabel Swan, I promise to love you every moment.
Poor baby.
F you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where you're taking on a behind-the-scenes, through-the-looking-glass Alice in Wonderland journey through the middle of talk radio, news, issues, and beyond. And we welcome you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL every night. And, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com, a very important resource because it is there that you can actually watch our show as well as download our show every day the next day. So tonight's show, if for whatever reason you have to check out, clock out, you have to move out, you're kicked on down the road, your wife throws you out, you're something, you can go to your computer, which you're going to have to find a place to plug in on the side of the road, wherever it is you're living, and you can download the show. And our video, we have a five-day video archive, so it's a beautiful thing. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we'd like to spotlight affiliates tonight, KTLK, K-Talk, 1150 in Los Angeles, and our great affiliate in Norfolk, Virginia, WTAR 850 AM, part of a network of radio stations, courageous broadcasters that carry this show now in almost all 50 states. I think we're missing, what are we missing? We're missing a state, or maybe it's just a territory. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Eclipse. Yes, Eclipse. The trailer of this film is said to be perfect. The fans are as enthused and excited about this film as any fan base might be for a movie that they're excited and enthused about. And Eclipse is a primarily, in terms of appeal, a young adult film. It is a film that features the romantic world of vampires, the sexuality, the sexual innuendo. I don't know, because I read the Anne Rice books, and in the Anne Rice books, vampires don't have genitals. So I don't know how it works in this world of vampires, but nonetheless, fans have taken to MTV News to react to Thursday's premiere of Twilight Saga Eclipse, the trailer, and here's just a smidgen of that trailer for you.
Isabel Swan, I promise to love you every moment forever.
She's still human. The Volturi don't give second chances.
Why are you so against me becoming like you?
I know the consequences of the choice you're making. After a few decades, everyone you know will be dead.
You wouldn't have to change for me, Bella. I'm in love with you, and I want you to pick me instead of him. You have to consider the idea that I might be better for her than you are.
Edward. She found us.
There you go. There's the trailer to Twilight. That last line there reminds me of Salem's Lot, where they're escaping the vampires in New England. They make their way to Mexico, and suddenly their holy water starts glowing, and they realize that one of the vampires has indeed found them. On the line with us from Glendale, California, is Vernon Dozier. He's a high school teacher, administrator, and an educator, and a man who's familiar with the habits, the tastes, the strengths, and yes, even the weaknesses of our young people. Vernon, good to have you with us this evening. The film Twilight has become quite a phenomenon, hasn't it?
Well, it's something we see, I would say, at least three times every school year. There's some kind of a cultural happening or cultural event which coalesces our young people and their interest and their imagination. I see it as it can be very positive. It can also be very distracting, so you have to make sure that you're monitoring. Obviously, as parents, I don't think this goes, I don't think I'm saying anything that anybody out there is surprised to hear. I think we have to monitor the tastes and the enjoyments of our young people. I think that for the most part, our young people have healthy instincts. This is a series of movies about vampires and all that goes along with that. I don't know what to say about it.
Have you seen it?
I'm planning on seeing it. That, as a matter of fact, Phil, is a part of what is going to be our something we're going to do annually now. It's called our Senior Award Night. Our seniors, having reached the end of the road of their high school career, we're going to give them a little something to say congratulations, a way of allowing them to relax and to be with each other and enjoy something that they would enjoy. In the case of this film, though, it is primarily a movie, I think, that females have an interest in.
Does this movie have to do with this senior award?
Well, we've had a pretty good year academically. Generally, the young women, the girls, tend to be a little bit more studious. Girls tend to be a bit more mature when it comes to their schoolwork. Girls tend to complete their homework assignments more readily and more completely than boys do. And so, in general, I'm saying, in general, girls tend to be better students than boys. It just so happens this film, Twilight, is a movie.
It's a movie that's primarily, that girls are primarily interested in?
The demographic breaks down more female than it does male, but boys like it too. So, in keeping with that, what we decided to do is to say to the to our seniors, to our senior girls, that they had completed or are in the midst of a very successful year academically, and that we would reward them with our senior night, Friday night, a week from Friday night, actually, to go see the movie Twilight. And that was something that we decided because the girls had simply completed their work up to this point more satisfactorily.
So the movie Twilight, which is extremely popular, obviously it's going to be very, very popular, continue to be very popular among young people. This is going to be a film that the senior girls at your school will see as a part, as an academic reward.
Exactly, Phil. I mean, we're all familiar with grad night, where you go to Disneyland or you do something like this. This is a kind of a midterm grad night where
but it's only the girls.
Well, it is only the girls, and the reason for that is we were able to get a special screening of the film because it doesn't officially come out for a few months.
How is that? Is that some inside?
Well, we do have we have some parents that have their kids going here who work in the industry. Yes, sir. And that's all I can tell you. But
oh no, that's fantastic. Anytime that happens. So the senior girls are going to see this. What about the senior boys? They're just academically, they didn't qualify?
Yeah, the senior boys, their grades were not good enough. The senior girls' grades were high enough, whereby I suggested to our, Mr. Broadstroke, who was our headmaster, I suggested this would be a good night out for the girls. And to that end, the girls are going to go see this in a week. This is going to be their senior award night. Some of the boys wanted to go, and I told them, and there's a parlance that young men use, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, but it generally they get the message. A couple of them wanted to see it, and a couple of them did qualify. They had good grades, but I said to them, again, using language that teenage boys use, I said, well, you know, only homos, you know, like this kind of movie. And
well, how did that go over? I mean, do you ever fear that they're going to go and tell their parents?
Well, the parents are going to understand. The parents know that when I say to the boys, I say, you know, only homos like this kind of movie, yeah, the boys are going to say, well, you know, you're right, Mr. Dozier, or something like that. We had one boy 1 year, I used the word homo, and he went back to his parents, and apparently he was, or he thought he was interested in becoming one, and that became a...
Was this a gay... This young man was gay?
Well, that's what his parents tried to sell me on, but I told them, I said, well, I think we have to wait and see what choices he makes. Of course, they went to that, it's not a choice, it's a birth thing, and that's fine. But what I said to the boys was only, you know, only homos, and they understood. So it'll just be me and the girls. Now, this is a field trip, Phil, and what that means is they need to get their parents' approval. They obviously will be picked up in a bus, but it's more of a SUV-style bus. It's an extended SUV. and they should be appropriately dressed, and that I would chaperone them. Now, there are a couple of other things that I think that the parents got into their minds, and I think it's a very, very good point. Anytime you have a man who is chaperoning young girls, you do have a reason to be wary. We're very fortunate in our school, Phil. About half of our senior girls are 17. The other half are 18. So the 17-year-olds we will take home immediately after the movie. The 18-year-olds we can take to a late meal. They will not have a curfew.
Well, they won't have a curfew. Why? I mean, just because they're 18, it doesn't mean that they're not going to have a curfew.
Well, they're not going to have a legal curfew is what I mean. They're 18 years of age. They can do pretty much what they want.
No, but I mean, even an 18-year-old girl who is living at home may have a curfew to observe that her parents gave her.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, but she doesn't have to observe that. I mean, if she wants, I don't want to cause a problem between her and her parents, but I'm taking the senior girls out for a reward night to see this movie, Twilight. The 17-year-old girls will be dropped off after the movie. The 18-year-olds I will take out to have a late meal. So legally, you can't really tell them what to do. You understand what I'm saying?
No, but these girls are high school students. They're living at home, Vernon. I'm just wondering, as a teacher and as an administrator...
I understand that, but this is a good learning... It's a learning... It's a learning period for the parents. When these girls are 18, they're out seeing a movie, with a fella, and it's not a fella. I'm the teacher, but they can role play it as if I was a date, and they can say, well, she's out and she's 18, so I can't tell her what to do. And it is it's a life lesson.
Well, it's a life lesson, but you're not a date.
No, I'm not a date, but they can role play it as if I am a date. They can role play it as if I am a date. They can say, oh, my daughter, she's 18, she's out with a man, and there really isn't a whole lot I can do because she's legal, and so it's none of my business. But you learn how to deal with these things.
So you're taking the girls out to see this movie, Twilight, in a week and a half. The boys aren't going because the boys wouldn't like it anyway, and they didn't really qualify academically, except for a couple of them, right?
A couple of them, but I told them again, if you're speaking in the parlance of young men, it's a movie for homos, as I said, and they understood that.
Well, you may get some backlash on that. I don't know.
Well, I've got a very good relationship with our parents, Phil.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number as we talk here with Vernon Dozier on a field trip taking the senior girls to see Twilight. At Belmar Academy. It's a private school, and these are 17 and 18-year-old senior girls, so the 17-year-olds will be dropped off after the movie. The 18-year-olds will go out for a late dinner with you, Vernon?
With me. We tried it with my wife. I felt as if I was constrained a little bit, so... It'll just be me and the young ladies. And this is, as I said, our senior reward night for these girls.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. So they're going to go see Twilight. The 18-year-olds go to... But the guys apparently don't want to see Twilight. And even if they do, he said to them, well, it's kind of a quote-unquote homo movie, end quote. That's the part that I think he may get into some... there's a couple of things that he might get into trouble for. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Your calls and our guests coming up.
Phil Hendry.
Kind of a homo thing.
Phil, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. He's a member of the school board there. Vernon, the school board at Belmar, they're aware of this field trip to see the movie Twilight. And that's a special screening, right?
That is correct. We've got one of our parents, and I don't want to say who.
No, don't identify the parent, but they work in the film business?
They do, and we have access to a screening of it, yeah. And we've discussed it with our board. We sent the parent approval slips. So I I'm not exactly sure I understand what your question is.
All right, here's my question. You're out with these girls. You said that the 17-year-olds go home.
All right, hold on for just a minute, if I could. All right, Phil, because I think I know where you're going with this. I think I can answer some questions for you.
Okay.
I have to tell you, I'm a teacher. I don't like the inference.
No, I'm not inferring. I've known you for a while. I'm not inferring anything.
Well, there's an inference that what I'm doing is that I told the boys that they wouldn't want to go see this movie for two reasons. Number one, the movie does not appeal to boys. It's not a male appeal movie. And so I spoke, perhaps, if I did anything wrong, I said it's a movie for homos, and I was saying that in the parlance that teenage boys use. That's number one.
But understand, I'm not trying to criticize you, okay? I'm just asking questions.
Number two, hold on. Number two. The girls that who did better academically, the 17-year-olds are going home before their curfews. It's the 18-year-olds who are legal to go out and have a late meal with me. Now,
that's the part that I'm questioning.
You're questioning that 18-year-old girls are not adults?
No, I'm not questioning that whether they're adults or not. I'm just saying, as a teacher, are you encouraging these girls to break curfews? Because they may be legally able to.
I'm not encouraging them to. Hold on, Mr. Henry. I'm not encouraging them to do anything. I'm not saying break a curfew. I'm saying you're 18, and ultimately, this is your call. And I'm saying to them, I'd like to take you for dessert to one of the top steakhouses in Beverly Hills. Now, do you want to go, or do you want to, run home to mommy and daddy? I'm not.
Well, right there, it sounds like you're putting them down.
I'm not putting them down. You're 18 years of age. And
but if those parents give them a curfew, it's a curfew that they have to observe. Here is Joe in Salt Lake City. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, wow, this guy, what a yahoo. Like, the movie Twilight is.
Hold the line for a minute, okay? I hit the wrong line. Austin, I'm sorry, I was going to go to you, Austin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Couple comments. This movie is not just for females. I know a lot of males that are not homos who like these kind of movies because they're into vampires. I happen to be one of them. Another thing,
right.
These high school girls.
I guess what I meant, if I could clarify, sir, all I meant was that the demographic that you look at when movies or books are marketed, you look at the demographic appeal, and it tends to...
Does this tend to skew female?
It does. It tends to skew younger female. And that's why I apologize. I just said to the guys, only homos go to this, and that seemed to satisfy them. That seemed to get them off my back for, 24 hours.
All right, well, go ahead, Austin.
Okay. Now, as far as these going out to the dinner with the females, I truly believe it is unfair that you would drop 17-year-old girls off and only take the 18-year-old girls. I understand the whole curfew thing, but still, that's not fair. Another thing is, I would not allow my daughter to go out to dinner with a teacher by herself. Well, not just by herself. I know there's going to be other females there, but just a male chaperone? No. I have a 13-year-old daughter who is sexually assaulted. I would not trust her around any man whatsoever. Just for that simple.
Well, I'm not talking
right
about
there,
these are high schools. These are high school seniors, sir. I'm not. I'm their teacher.
That,
I'm not.
They're still 17 and 18-year-olds. They haven't grown
you're
up.
Right
and
about
matured.
Right. Yeah, the 17-year-olds, of course, are not. The 18-year-olds are legal, and they can do what they want to do.
I understand that they're legal law-wise. I'm in.
And they're legal, and they're legal the other
I'm
way too.
I'm in law enforcement, so I know the law.
Yes, sir.
But
yes, sir.
My thing is, who's to say that
they're
you wouldn't take some of them to a hotel after dinner?
I don't know how to answer that question. I'm a teacher, and I'm taking these girls as a reward for their academic achievement.
I understand.
And all right, I'm taking them out to dinner.
Some chaperones. Why can't you take female chaperones?
Why would
like
they
some
need
the parents?
They don't need chaperones. I'm dropping the 17-year-olds off. After that, it's the 18-year-olds, and they
right. Why,
they're
why
adults.
Can't
and
some of the female parents go to that too? Why can't the female parents go to that, or other male parents?
Because it's
go with these 18
technically, it's a good point you're making, sir. But technically, it's really none of their business.
Yes, it is. These are high school students.
But they're
exactly.
18.
All right, John. Thank you, Austin.
Matter.
We'll be back. We'll be right back here with Austin. With Vernon Dozier on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876 Phil.
Phil Hendry.
What is that guy trying to do? He's a pain in the ass.
Phil, and our web address is philhenryshow.com. If you'd like and you want to watch the show, you can watch our show right now at philhenryshow.com. We have a live video cast every night, as well as downloads. Speaking with us this evening from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, is Vernon Dozier. Academically, girls do better than boys, especially at a private school like yours. And as a result of this academic achievement, you have offered the girls and you've gotten parent permission to show them a early screening of the new Twilight Saga Eclipse film.
Hold on, Phil. It's called Twilight Saga Eclipse, yeah. And we have gotten permission from the parents.
So you're going to take the girls to a special screening. You're not taking the boys, but not because the boys haven't done well academically.
Well, almost. Have done very poorly. I mean, not poorly, but in relation to the girls. And it's a point that you want to drive home with the young men to say, you know, as a unit, you are doing much worse than the girls are academically, and you are seniors. This is it. This is your last year to really nail down how you want your academic record to look as you send your transcripts onto colleges. Now, some of the boys who did do well, and I'd say out of a senior class, Phil, and you understand we have a senior class of 200 students. And we've roughly got about 89 boys. And of the 89, probably less than 20 could compete with the girls academically. And I said to the ones that that said, well, can we go see this movie? I said, that's when I said to them, well, you know that this Twilight's movie is a homo movie.
And have you gotten any complaints from parents about using a vituperative, using what is a word of bigotry like that, a homophobic word?
Phil, I don't see that as a homophobic word when you're talking to high school boys.
But it's a slam on homosexuals, isn't it?
It is not a slam on homosexuals. It's more in terms of taste. Look, we have a young lady in our scene. We refer to her as our Jazz Bono. Her name is Jackie. She is. We wanted to have the girls dress in these juicy T-shirts. One of them says Team Jacob, and the other one says Team Edward from the movie. And they're made by Juicy, and she didn't want to wear it. I understand. It's a Jazz Bono.
Chaz Bono is a lesbian. In point of fact, Chaz Bono is now a young man having had sex reassignment surgery. He was Chastity Bono, the daughter of Sonny and Cher, right?
Yeah. I mean, boy, you know, you're making that announcement, Phil, like you're announcing BE Day or something.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying you sound a little sheepish.
I'm not sheepish. What do you want me to say? She's a dyke? I'm not going to say.
No, I don't. I would expect you to speak like a teacher, a high school teacher.
I am. She's a Chaz Bono, is the way I put it to the students.
877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to a phone call here. Ian, in Anchorage, Alaska. Ian, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Vernon Dozier.
I'm totally against this guy. I've seen Twilight personally, and I really like the movie because of it being so... the scenery and everything in it is really, pretty much, really beautiful. And with myself included, I feel that this guy is way out of line, basically. And
well, you don't think the movie? Do you think the movie appeals to? I mean, you like it, but most guys. When I said to my students, I said, you know, this is a homo movie. They both nodded and they said, you know what, Mr. Dozier, we get it. and that's all I needed to hear.
Well, have you even read the books at all? Because I'm reading New Moon, and I've actually read Twilight on CD too, and I really love both books, and I've also read the Harry Potter series, and I very much like both of their writings.
Are you familiar with maybe Mr. Henry won't think I'm being fair here, but are you familiar with Chaz Bono?
What has Chaz Bono got to do with this? Chaz Bono is a transgender. What are you saying?
I'm wondering, without being rude, I'm asking this young man, is he...
Yes, I'm very much aware of Chastity Bono, yes.
No, I'm asking, can I ask you, are you a homosexual?
No, I'm not.
Why does he have to be... Okay, he's not.
All right, well, that makes him part of it rare that there are men who like this, but nonetheless, it's very rare. This is mostly for women, and so I would say to this young man, Egan, that I'm glad you like it, but this is a night that I'm going to be spending with my senior girls, and when the 17-year-olds go home, then I'm with the 18-year-olds, and I'm not doing anything bad, and I don't know what...
Are you basically, Ian, saying that it's unfair of him to eliminate the boys from, the senior boys from seeing this movie?
Yes, I feel that's very fair to say,
but
and I feel he's being racist in some way.
How am I being racist?
Yes.
How am I being racist?
You're being very racist against. I mean, look at all the famous people that have
racist.
Edison. I mean, think about it. Edison, who the guy invented the light bulb. Ben Franklin. You're talking about people who invented things in this last generation in the last probably 100 years. I mean, these are smart people.
Right.
Even my own grandfather.
Yeah, they are smart people. But nonetheless, they didn't.
Genius.
You know, it doesn't matter whether or not they built stuff. They're still.
I mean,
homosexuals,
No, they're not homosexuals.
What, Benjamin Franklin?
Benjamin Franklin wasn't a homosexual. There's no evidence that he was. 877-876 Phil Beatrice in West Palm Beach, Florida. Go ahead, Beatrice. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I have a question. Why are the boys doing so poorly in this private school?
Well, no, they don't do poorly. They just don't do as well as the girls.
Oh, I see.
Yep,
you know, you're really creeping me out. You're creeping me out. If I had a child...
Well, you could have said that
instead of starting
out like you were being academic and then you wanted to insult me. I mean,
well,
you could have insulted me right away.
I had a question as to why boys were doing so poorly.
And why? Because I gave you a good answer. And
you said
I gave you a good answer, and so you decided to insult me.
Nine could compete with the girls.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty low percentage.
Well, you can leave that to me. I'm the teacher, and... I think we're way off the point here, Mr. Henry. I think we're way off the point here, Mr. Henry. And the point is that this is our way of rewarding academic success.
Yeah.
Well, you may be rewarding academic success, but you're taking 18-year-old girls.
I can't hear you, Phil. There's something in my ear. She's 18. She's 18. I'm not taking your 18-year-old daughter anywhere.
You know what? She would be very smart, and she would not even go with you. Because
if she had wheels
really
and pedals,
great.
She'd be a bicycle, but I'm not taking her anywhere. And listening to you, I wouldn't take her anywhere. You know, I mean, there's only so much, you know. God gives us these little clues. And getting a load of you, no, I wouldn't want to be in the same limousine with you.
Excuse me, and if you...
Wait, hold on. Let's not insult people.
Am I a homosexual? Well, let's see, my wife's 22.
But it doesn't matter. There's plenty of men that are married that are homosexual.
There are?
Why are you going to this movie?
Is your husband one of them? Now,
isn't that funny?
But before he passed away, was he gay?
All right. What's the point of that?
Well, she's the one that's...
Ridiculous.
She is the one... Well, you're ridiculous. You called me gay. You said I'm a pervert.
You
said my daughter... You said your daughter wouldn't want to go out with me, which is ridiculous.
You're a pervert.
Yes, you did.
You
called me a pervert. Of course, any man would be. Any man would be as sensitive to that word.
So why?
And you also said that your daughter wouldn't go out with me. You don't know that. You don't know that at all.
Well, she'd be very smart, and she wouldn't. She wouldn't go out with me.
Your daughter may want to go out with me.
We're not talking about you going out with anybody. We're talking about you being with seniors from a high school, okay?
Right.
And you're with 18-year-old girls.
Yeah, 18. Now, if you want to look it up, that's the age of majority. That's an adult. God. And she's she's laughing because she knows I'm right.
How did you become
a look, I'm not here to have. I'm not sitting here. I'm not having coffee with you, okay?
All right, Beatrice, I'm sorry for his rudeness. We do have to move on. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Steve. Steve is in Nashville on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, Steve.
Steve, the idea that a lot of these people are insulting me, Mr. Hendry. They're calling me names.
Well, there's unanswered questions, that's all. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Well, I'm a teacher as well. I've taught for 20 years. I teach U.S. history. And I teach
public school.
So let me just make a point, maybe an observation, that in this day and age, you have to be very politically correct. My very first year of teaching 20 years ago, I had a girl. And 20 years ago, I'm in my 20s. And I told the teacher next door, I said, hey, you need to make sure when soon as school's over, I had this girl the last period of class. You know, I could sense it. You know, she would come up, she'd put her leg on the desk. I say, don't do that. I finally told my neighbor teacher the next door, I said, just come by. So one, I never leave my door closed. Two, you've got to keep yourself in a non-accusatory situation. You are one accusation from a lawsuit, and whether you're guilty or not, your name is ruined. Your reputation, what you work for in life,
I play it smart.
And then here's the next thing. I just took a group of kids, 17 and 18, because they're juniors, a couple seniors left, to Washington, D.C. I took a three-day field trip. I want the girls to go that are 18. One, I'm setting myself up for a total disaster. And two, by me allowing, because when I had parent meeting, how many boys are going? When I said that, instead of maybe worrying about the boys going, they were encouraged that, hey, he's going to have some help on his own here, because I was the only teacher.
Exactly. However, what he doesn't know is that the parents are going to say, is this guy, and I'll say it, excuse me, is he some kind of a homo wanting these boys to go? What do you say?
I'm not making
that?
Any homo statement. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
What I'm saying is, if you take the boys, the parents are going to say you're some kind of a homo. So,
If you take a field trip of young people to any place in America, whether it's Washington, as this teacher did, or anywhere, and you're taking the class, it's male and it's female. And you probably want to go with another teacher or maybe another parent. But what do you mean if he takes boys, they think he's a homo?
You don't know how these parents are. They probably would feel better if it was girls.
They'd feel much better.
No, they wouldn't.
The questions. I'm having a hard time knowing if you're talking or not, but forget this homo statement. It appears to me that with you excluding the 17-year-olds, I almost sense a self-gratification that you maybe want to see if there's a possible future for a clientele here with an 18-year-old, because they're legal. They can make that decision. Your comment of, do you want to go home to mommy and daddy?
Wow, that you would say something like that to me, a fellow teacher.
Parents, well, that right there, the tone in your language is so obvious that you would say that
to a fellow teacher, that you would accuse me of wanting to, am I sniffing the seats after they get out?
I'm saying you're setting yourself up for accusation.
Yes, yeah, exactly, good point. That's what he's trying to say. It's not you're doing anything wrong.
Well, this guy's, but what, do you think I'm sniffing the seat after they get out of the limousine? Is that what you think I'm doing? I mean, what kind of a pervert?
The man is saying that the parents...
I understand the man saying that. Are these parents so devoid of getting their kicks that they've got to have they get their jollies through my misery?
Yes.
Hey,
let's use
a current example. Ben Roethlisberger has totally set himself up for a lawsuit.
This other guy told me about Ben Franklin.
He looks bad in the public eye because he put himself in a compromising situation at a bar with a young lady.
Exactly.
And now he's got a sexual harassment lawsuit.
He's got a big problem. All right, Steve, thanks very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
This guy, he's talking about Ben Franklin again, right?
No, Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I don't know. I will tell you this much. I am a high school teacher, and
what are you going to wear on this night?
What am I going to wear?
What are you going to wear yourself? The girls are wearing juicy T-shirts with Team Edward and Team Jacob.
I'm wearing a pair of jeans with a tuxedo shirt and a muscle shirt. It's a Friday night. I'm having fun with my students.
You're going to wear a pair of jeans with a muscle shirt and a what?
You know, Phil, I wish you could hear yourself. This is what it sounded like.
You're going to wear a pair of jeans with a muscle shirt and what?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what you sounded like.
Okay, and what?
You don't sound like you're in control of your emotions.
I'm asking you that you, what you wore, and you said...
No, not what I wore, what I'm going to wear.
What you're going to wear, and you said a pair of jeans, a muscle shirt, and a tuxedo shirt.
Yeah, and then you said...
A pair of jeans, a muscle shirt?
See, I don't think you have control over your emotions. And
no, don't, let's not turn the tables here, okay? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. Vernon Dozier, high school teacher from Belmar Academy, taking his high school senior girls only to see Twilight Saga Eclipse. The 17-year-olds will get dropped off. The 18-year-olds he's taking for a late dessert at a steakhouse in Beverly Hills. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. With me is Vernon Dozier, a high school educator from Glendale, California, on the film Twilight Saga Eclipse, and the high school senior girls that he's going to be taking to see this movie at a special screening. And I'm sorry, Vernon, but I'm going to say, you're taking them in a Humvee limousine. The girls are going to be wearing juicy T-shirts. You're going to be in a muscle shirt.
No, I can't let you go on with it.
No, but did you not tell me that?
You're describing it as if I'm going out on some... As if I'm the producer of pornographic films and I'm bringing a stable of my A-list actresses with me, and I think that it is, Mr. Hendry, I got to stop you. You're
telling me about a muscle shirt and a tuxedo shirt, and the girls are in these juicy T-shirts, you know, and you were telling me off the air that you didn't like that woman calling you creepy.
Well, that woman called me creepy, and I was a gentleman with her. I could have said to her, you know, well, you sound like an old bag on death's door, but I didn't. And she did sound like an old bag on death's door, but I didn't say that to her because I'm a gentleman. She called me creepy. I gave her the creeps. She's telling me how her daughter wouldn't go out with me, and I don't know where she ever got the idea that I'd go out with her daughter.
Well, I don't even want to talk about you going out with young women, you understand?
I understand.
I'm just talking about you going out on a field trip with these girls who are 18, so you got to take them for a late dessert wearing a muscle shirt and saying that no guy wants to go see Twilight because it's a homo movie.
Again, I
know that's how you put it to the high school senior men, the boys. I know, because it seems to communicate something to them. But you just heard from one guy who said he watched it, who likes it.
Well, but I listened to that man. He did not even sound... That man sounded to me as if he might be... he might have some developmental problem.
Who, the guy that said that he liked it?
Yeah. I mean, if you heard his speech patterns, he sounded as if there was chromosomal issues.
All right, 87, I don't remember. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to Debbie. Debbie in Alabama, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Mr. Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yes, I'd like three questions, please, if you could answer them. You said your
yes,
wife
ma'am.
Was 22, is that correct?
That is correct, ma'am, yeah.
Okay, and how old are you?
I'm 53.
53. Okay,
yes, ma'am.
That's something that raises, you know, questions in my mind. The other thing is you said you would not be as comfortable with your wife going along with you. Can you tell me why?
Well, I'm a little offended by you saying that me being married to a woman raises questions. I mean, would you rather I was married to a sheep? I don't understand.
No, the age difference, I think. Isn't that what you're referring to, Debbie?
Yeah, the age.
Well, but it's all right, but I mean, it's legal to be married to a woman that's much younger than you. What about these cougars? You ever hear about them?
Yeah, a lot of them. And a lot of them are older, wanting younger girls.
Exactly. They're old ladies that are
getting off.
They're old ladies that are putting their hands all over young men. So
right.
Doesn't anybody?
My question is, why would you be uncomfortable with your wife going with you, or why should she be comfortable with you going, or is that just y'all's marriage?
No, ma'am. It's the fact that it's a teaching moment. It's like I wouldn't have my wife in the classroom. Why would she come with me?
not a classroom. It's a field trip.
The limousine seats only a certain number of people, and there's just no room for
her. Oh, so you would rather let one of the girls go than your wife? And she has no problem with this?
I don't know. It's really none of her business. It's my job. It's what I do for a living.
Right. Well, that's
none of her business.
The way I, that's just not the way I see marriages working out. I think that it, you know, everything.
This isn't a marriage. This is my job. This is my job.
Right.
It's not a marriage issue.
You know, if you were my husband, we would discuss this. I would not be comfortable with my husband doing this. I don't think it's right. And the appearances you make to others, you know, you have to watch appearances.
If I if I went to see this movie by myself, they'd say I was some kind of a homo, just like, you know.
This isn't about you going to see this movie. It's about you taking these senior girls who are 18.
That's it. You're
they're
right.
Only
they're 18.
4 years younger than your wife. And if I were your wife,
and that's a long 4 years. Like, that's a long road with no turning. I'm just joking, of course, but you know what I mean, right?
Four years different from your wife, and I bet that's a lot of naga hide.
Phil
Hendry.
A lot of naga hide.
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Police say Father Alexius was merely lost and asking for help when he pulled into...
Well, it makes me think of my grandfather who served at Anzio in World War II.
He had just been squatting and stood up. And, it, you know, if you've ever been out to one of our ranges, like a pop...
Put your hands on your back. Put your hands behind your back.
George Bush doesn't care about...
Syria.
Cat urine!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch here. And where through the looking glass we go each and every night on our trek toward wherever the hell it is we're going, man. Just a good time, really, is all we're looking to have. Coming up this hour, we have Jeff Dowder. Jeff is a gamer. He's going to be talking with us about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Also later in the program, a man gets tasered six times. We wanted to talk to you about that last night, but, you know, can't have, couldn't load the night up with a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, that would have been great, though.
All right, well, maybe we'll get to it tonight. And the Vatican looks for aliens. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Now, before we get... Jeff Dowder on the phone here, and he is a competitive gamer, and by that I mean these video games, Xbox, so forth, PlayStation, 360. You know the games. If you have kids, and if you play them yourself, you know what I'm talking about. This new game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, or as it is known out on the street, Call of Duty 4. This is obviously one in a series of games called Call of Duty. And it's very graphic. One of the scenes that appeared online and was prominent on YouTube has to do with the player, joining a group of terrorists as they walk into an airport and gun down. And let me tell you, obviously the graphics and the animation has gotten so good that you'd swear to God you're looking at a film of some kind, or you're looking at an actual videotape or filmed reenactment by living actors. It's sometimes you do a double take. Is these real people? Is this an animated clip? In this clip from Call of Duty 4, the player kills civilians in a Russian airport in this very controversial scene. Well, you get the general idea. You're getting the general idea there. That is a graphic scene, and those are, you can hear the screams of civilians as these terrorists, these men with these automatic weapons, move through this security line after killing everybody in the security line. They move on down toward the gate section, and they're just basically shooting everything that moves, including people who are obviously wounded, attempting to get back to their feet, and they're gunned down and killed. Joining us from Temple City, California, is Jeff Dowder. Jeff's familiar with this game and other games in this particular genre. Jeff, thanks for joining us this evening.
I'm very happy to do it. I'm happy to maybe possibly clear up some misconceptions.
All right. Well, what am I missing about this game?
Well, I think what's been missed by the media in general on this game is that it affords those of us who may have a political point of view that's sympathetic, and you know, if we can just sort of lift the judgment from this for just a second and look at this from an objective point of view, if there's people that are sympathetic to the political aim, say, of so-called terrorists, you can engage as a terrorist if you see terrorism as a legitimate political tool, but you are not willing to encounter the military or police or to deal with civilian police authority. So you're able to practice the political tool of terrorism, and at the same time, and do it on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, the same way any other terrorist, if I can use that word, would do it. And you do not have to suffer the intrusion or the action of police authority. And so,
are you saying that you agree with the use of terrorism?
I don't agree with the use of terrorism. I agree with the use of terrorism. I'm not willing, personally, to be engaged by police.
So you agree with the killing of innocent human beings?
I'm not willing to say that, no. I'm willing to say that I have long been an admirer of the idea of terrorism as a political tool.
Well, if you say that you're an admirer of terrorism as a political tool...
But Mr. Renner, I didn't really come on your program to talk politics. I came on your program to talk about this game, you know.
Yeah, but you made a statement that is that underlies your argument here, that you have a admiration for the use of terrorism.
I said I admire it as a political tool. I did not say that I am willing to go out and practice terrorism as it's currently practiced, because I like to think that I'm smarter than most terrorists. The problem with terrorists, obviously, is that they kill themselves in the process, and they get if they don't, they get arrested and they're incarcerated for the rest of their lives, and that to me is not intelligent. I think for the very first time in the history of certainly of gaming, and in the first time in the history of modern society, we're able to move terrorism up a notch and make it something that you survive, that you're able to affect the terrorist aim, and you don't get arrested by the police. So that's an evolution, you know. And to say that I admire terrorists, I don't admire terrorists today because they wind up, like I said, either getting killed or they wind up going to jail.
Other than that, you're fine with what they do.
Well, it's hard to be fine with what they do when it essentially fails. With Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, this is an evolution of terrorism that allows you to practice terrorism and not be arrested for it. And you saw yourself, Mr. Henry, that clip. The realism of it is hard to argue with, and it obviously scared people that saw it, and I'm sure that it even scared some of the people in your audience that heard it. And so that tells me that, you know, this is very effective. And what we're able to do with this game is practice terrorism and again, avoid the detection of police action or obvious mortal wounds. end your life.
All right, well, what do you say to people who say to you that you're not practicing terrorism at all? You're a guy sitting playing a game.
You know what? I would invite them to sit down with me and watch me play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and walk out of that room feeling like they haven't been terrorized, because they will. And I can only tell you this, Mr. Henry. People that say that, they haven't seen, they haven't seen Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I mean, these guys go into the airport, they gun down everybody in sight, and you're terrorized by it. And
well, how do you, if you say that you like the idea of terrorism, you just don't want to be arrested by the police, how do you terrorize somebody playing Call of Duty?
That's a very common question, and I know a lot of people that ask it generally are very condescending when they ask it, but I can tell you this right now, and you can trust me on this. If you came over to my house on a Saturday morning, okay, and you sat down on my couch next to me while I played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, maybe Level 2, you would be terrorized.
And how am I going to be terrorized, man?
Because you're watching me gunning down innocent human beings in the most realistic way that has ever been put into a game, and it's unrelenting. The effects are real.
I got to tell you, Jeff, it doesn't sound like something that's going to terrorize me.
Well, it's easy for you to say. It's easy for you to say, but that's why I'm one of the top gamers, because when I play Modern Warfare 2, it will terrorize you. And the other thing is, when you ask me how do you terrorize people, if I stand in a Federal Express office, or I'm standing in line to go see a movie over at the Montclair Five, or I'm with my girlfriend at Macy's or something, and I say, while she's buying perfume or she's getting pantyhose or something, and I say, I killed 35 civilians at a Russian airport yesterday, I can guarantee you, okay?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, well, I can guarantee you that the people within earshot are going to be terrorized, and the effect will be real. Okay, so.
All right, but what you're telling me is the way you terrorize people with Call of Duty 4 is by having me come to your house and sit down and watch you play the game.
Well, you're making it sound like I'm inviting you over to have pancakes. That's not what you're going to be terrorized. And again, for the gamer, for me, who does see the terrorism as a legitimate political tool, but I'm smarter than the average terrorist because I want to live and I don't want to be in prison in Yemen, or something like that, Mr. Henry?
Right.
I can use this game and affect the same kind of a political outcome and not suffer those consequences.
Well, I have to get back and ask Jeff here in a moment, what political gains will he make playing Call of Duty 4? It's a very violent game. This is Jeff Dowder on the line with us, who's a gamer, who says he believes in the idea of terrorism as a political tool. He just doesn't like the idea of police intervention. But by playing Call of Duty 4, which shows very graphically people being murdered in an airport, you can be a terrorist and still remain alive and out of police custody. 877, so I guess the question here, Bud, is, can you actually be what you think you're being when you're playing a game?
In a lot of ways you can, because people laugh at that, but you can. You do become and have the skills of those people in a game and everything.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. Talking about Call of Duty 4, a violent, violent video game that's been released. It shows graphic terrorist violence. Jeff Dowder is our guest. He's a big fan of this game. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
There's a lot of things you can do, other than just sit and have flapjacks.
We'll be right back.
Jeff Dowder joins us. He is a gamer, and he's a big fan of Call of Duty 4. It is called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, actually, but it's known as Call of Duty 4. And this is a very graphic video game that has a segment of violence, terrorist violence, where Russian terrorists go into an airport and kill everyone in sight. And it's very graphic. It is extremely vivid. You have said that you believe terrorism, Jeff, is a legitimate political tool. You like the idea of being a terrorist, but you just don't want to be arrested. And so this game does everything that a terrorist can do, but you don't get arrested. What about killing people?
Well, what do you mean, what about killing people? I mean, you're not killing people.
No, but I mean in real life, if you've got no problem with terrorism, have you got a problem with killing people?
You know, Mr. Henry, that's a trick. No, I don't have a problem with killing people. I mean, I am not a person who is comfortable with blood, but that's got nothing to do with not wanting to kill people. You need to understand something. There's a difference. I do have phobias like we all do, but I would be happy to kill people, but I do have, and I'm saying that, I know that your audience would take exception to that. I'm saying as a pure terrorist, if I was a pure terrorist, that I would, but I don't want to get arrested.
But if you weren't going to get arrested, do you have a problem with killing people?
If I wasn't going to get arrested, then it wouldn't be against the law, and I wouldn't have to do it, would I?
But do you have a problem with killing people?
I just said to you, if I admire terrorism as a political tool, no, I don't. But the Call of Duty 4 is superior to terrorism that we know about because it's virtual, and yet you still create terror. Okay?
So, well, what is this thing about you not wanting... You have a phobia against blood?
I know what you're trying to do, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to discredit me in the gaming world. Because
no, I'm not trying to discredit anything. You said that you admire terrorism as a...
I have what is called hemophobia, which is a fear of massive amounts of blood. That, however, that's got nothing to do with not wanting to kill people.
So you'd kill people if they didn't bleed?
You know, like I said, Mr. Henry, if you want to discredit me in the gaming world, that's fine.
No, but I think I'm being logical. You would kill people if they didn't bleed.
I have no fear of killing people. And if you saw me in Call of Duty 4, you'd see that I am relentless and ruthless. I slaughter everybody in the airport. I slaughter them and slaughter them. I keep on slaughtering them. I got no fear. And if you saw me, you'd be terrorized by it. Okay?
But you won't do it in real life because you don't want to get arrested and you're afraid of blood.
I'm not afraid of it. I have a problem with it. And I'll tell you one other thing. You can say all you want about whether you think I'm, you know, afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. This is a way better way of terrorism. Because you can terrorize. A kid comes over to your house on a Saturday morning. He gets terrorized. Within 5 minutes, he's out the door, okay? And you can terrorize at a... Like I said, my girlfriend was buying a cage for her cat at a pet store. And I terrorized the people in the pet store just by saying that I'd slaughtered, you know, all these people in Russia. So these are things that you don't think about and your audience doesn't think about. These are mind images that are very, very real and are placed into the mind of the people that you're around.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, what? I mean, you know, you go, oh, yeah, okay. Are you?
No, I find your excuses and your explanations to be a little bit bizarre, but let's go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Michael in Charleston, South Carolina. Michael, you're on with Jeff Dowder here as we talk about Call of Duty 4. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Jeff? I got a question for you.
I'm good.
If you can't differentiate between reality and a gaming world, how can you have a valid opinion? You have to realize that
in a video game,
there's a reset button. In the real world, where everybody else lives, there's no reset button. You can play whatever video game you want, but at the end of the day, when you're playing video games, there's a reset button. You can pretend
What's
to be a
terrorist. What's the point of terrorism? What's the point of terrorism?
Plumber. You can pretend to be a dragon in the third level of whatever universe you decide to create in a video game. But so the rest of us, the 9-to-5 working every day, people that aren't gamers, as you'd call them, no, the people that actually run this country, that make this country work and make it great, and give you the freedom to have the day off to play video games all day, we can differentiate between when we're playing video games and when we're associating with real, actual people.
If you were terrorized, though, by Call of Duty, you would be terrorized. You'd be terrorized by it.
I could sit in your living room on a Saturday afternoon and watch your television and watch you pretend to kill people on your TV. And that's just, that's silly. That's not terrorism.
No. That's what I'm saying about this game. Yeah, but you don't understand about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. That's why I'm saying it's a step above. It's a step up. If you've seen the graphics,
a game.
You can say, yeah. Hey, you want to know something, man?
Just like
life
Santa
is just
Claus
life.
Bunny well, aren't real. That's just a game, man.
No, I mean, yeah, and you know what I could also say? Your life is just your life. I could dismiss
yeah,
that.
It's
but
just
you know,
my
you
life.
Know,
you're right.
You know that your life is, you know your life's got more involved than just me saying it's your life. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm saying to you that in Modern Warfare 2, you would be terrorized if you came over to my house, like
man, I'd love to
any Saturday
sit on
morning.
Your couch on a Saturday and watch you play your silly video.
Oh, really?
Game.
Really?
Yes,
really? You'd like
great.
To be? You'd want to be terrorized.
How do you know that this man would be terrorized?
Well,
there's no way you could possibly terrorize me watching your television. I'm sorry. That's
no,
you
you're not.
You're going to play a Friday the 13th movie and scare me with it. It's just on the TV. It's not
no,
real,
that's
man.
Different. It's different,
it's not
man.
Real.
I am operating. Friday the 13th is different because that's a film, man. Friday the 13th is different. It's a movie. I'm talking about an interactive game where I'm terrorizing
game.
You. I'm slaughtering. Oh, really? Okay.
Man. Huge
okay.
difference.
Let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you just one question, then. Okay, let me ask you one question, man. So you'd be okay with seeing people get slaughtered before your eyes? Okay, yeah, sure.
Well, that's not what he's saying.
Yeah, he is. He's saying he's cool with that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. All right, thank you, sir. We'll be back with Jeff Dowder on Modern Warfare 2 on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Jeff Dowder, who is a gamer from Temple City, California, as we talk about a very controversial new video game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It is known colloquially among gamers as Call of Duty 4. The reason why we're bringing this up, and I would suggest if you don't know the game, you can go to YouTube. There's a very graphic sequence from the game. We played the audio from it. And when I say graphic, it's appalling, really. These are some terrorists, Russian terrorists, allegedly, who walk into an airport and cut down everybody in sight with these automatic weapons. It's graphic in the sense that you see people trying to get up, and they're killed as they try to get up. I mean, it's every kind of nightmare one can imagine in a scene like that. And, Mr. Dowder, you've said some things here that, to say that they're controversial, you say that you admire terrorism as a political tool. You say that you admire terrorists using it, and yet you don't want to go out and kill people or to be arrested. You would rather do this through this video game, which you say can terrorize people equally.
Come over to my house on a Saturday. My sister's getting her ears pierced on Saturday by 10 o'clock. You come over, sit down, and watch as I go to work. I mean, I do some serious chopping. My gaming tag is Audie Murphy, and I'm known in game rooms just about everywhere. People know that I'm serious, and I go in and I do some serious chopping. And for people to laugh at me and say that, you're not living in the real world, you'll be terrorized. You played the clip, and you said that it was disturbing. Okay.
I would think that's a long way from being terrorized.
Well, now you're just qualifying it, and you're playing a semantical game. You said that it was disturbing, so you were terrorized just by the clip that you saw. If you saw me, I slaughter everything in sight. And when I say that I don't want to go to jail, okay, I don't want to go to jail. I don't even think terrorists want to go to jail. And the only reason why I don't want to go to jail, and I'll tell you very honestly, is because I've got a phobia about, going number two in front of other inmates. I mean, it sounds silly,
You don't want to go to jail because you don't want to go to bathroom in front of other inmates, but it has nothing to do with being incarcerated.
No, I don't care. I don't care about losing my freedom for the things that I believe in. And to the question of why I don't kill real people, I do have a fear of blood, but it's not because I don't want to kill people. In the game, Call of Duty 4, there's a lot of blood, and I suck it up. And there are times when I am getting faint and where I do feel like I'm going to throw up or faint, but I go through it and I go through it. And
well, if you go through it in the game, why not go through it in real life?
The only difference is the smell. There's no smell of, you know, they don't have any smell-o-vision or anything on Call of Duty. But the fact is...
So you'd go out and you'd kill human beings if you didn't have a fear of blood and if you did not have a fear of going to the bathroom in front of other inmates. Is this what you're saying?
Again, you are trying to discredit me in the eyes of other gamers. I said to you that this is a terrorist... terrorism is a legitimate political tool...
No, I'm not trying to... I'm using your words. I'm repeating your words back to you. That terrorism is a legitimate political tool, as you just said. That killing people, I assume, is a legitimate political tool.
Yeah, but you didn't remember the thing that I said about 20 minutes ago, which makes it all make sense. And that is, this game, Call of Duty, is a way more superior way of terrorizing somebody than to go in and, than to go in and actually do it. But all I can tell you is, and the guy that was on the phone the last time, go ahead, man. You know, I dare you to come over to my house and watch me go to work in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
We'll be terrorized.
You will. Yes, you will. And you can laugh about it, but yeah, you'll be fully terrorized.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Jeff Dowder here about Call of Duty 4, which is a graphic game to the point where he says people who watch other people play it will be terrorized. Dave, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Jeff? I'm sorry, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Phil, I think it's actually, I think it's a bit ridiculous to be claiming that some sort of game is some sort of reality. To be under the assumption that...
Yeah, no, I already went through this with the other guy. What didn't you hear, man? It's total reality.
Well, it's total reality.
I just went through this with that guy from South Carolina. This dude from South Carolina had a better question than you, and you're in Boston.
I can only tell you that
most of the people that have watched me play this game, you know, are terrorized.
It doesn't necessarily matter where you're at.
Yeah, okay, go ahead and tell me, what is that again, man, about how it's just a game? Because I already went through
the... Well, the guy's asking the question on his own. Let him ask.
What's your question? It's not really a question. It's more of a statement than anything, and I think it's a reality.
That you heard the other guy make. Yeah, go ahead.
Will you let this guy talk, please?
I think the reality of it is that I have no problem against gamers. I have no problem against any game whatsoever. When you say that,
that's nice to know.
I'm sorry. When you say that I'm going to come over and I'm going to sit in your basement and I'm going to watch you play a game, like literally a game.
Right, man. Like I said to the other guy, man. It's very realistic.
It doesn't matter.
All right, okay. All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Aaron. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Aaron, in Merced, California, on the Phil Henry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Fine.
Good. I just want to say that the scene in Call of Duty, I have the game myself. I'm an avid gamer.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's a fairy tale. It's a scene in the game to portray how terrible it is, and it's a story mechanism. It's not to portray terrorists and to be a terrorist. It's just to say that you can be in the shoes of a terrorist.
You can be in the shoes of a terrorist and play that game.
It shows you it's such a realistic game, and it's so violent. And that scene is a very violent scene. I was blown away when I first played it, and I can't imagine that happening in real life, and just like happened at the Ford.
Well, it can happen in real life because in the game you can imagine what it's like to go in and slaughter. You could go and slaughter a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. It's very realistic.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's not real. It's a fantasy.
Okay. Let me ask you something, man. You do a lot of gaming, like you do regular fests and stuff like that, because I do at my house. All
right. I'm in the middle of a game right now. I'm playing online.
Okay. If you invite a friend over on, say, Saturday and have him sit down next to you, you're telling me he wouldn't be terrorized.
What's going to terrorize the guy?
No, I'm asking this guy because he's...
Not gonna be terrorized. He's going to be like, you know, like, wow, this is pretty crazy stuff. If this would really happen, that would be unbelievable. I mean, it's pretty scary.
Well, how good are you, man? Because if you're good enough... I mean, I'm good. If you're good enough,
good.
You could you would be able to terrorize him.
How are you going to terrorize the guy, man, if he knows that you're playing a game?
Because he's looking at how ruthless you are and butchering everybody up. Ain't that right?
No.
Man?
I wouldn't say terrorize.
What? What? Well, if you're online right now, are you in what game? Are you in a room right now? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guarantee whoever you're playing, you can terrorize them. To the point where I don't want them to call the cops on you or anything, and they couldn't because you would be in violation of no law, but they would definitely...
Nobody's terrorized by the...
Feel like there was a threat to their city.
Boy, McNamara, this is like a book or a movie that deals with terrorism.
But if you do it good enough...
It's a thinking tool.
Okay, dude. I don't mean anything by this, man. But what if I were to tell you that you sound terrorized just talking to me right now?
I'm not terrorized. I'm playing my game.
Okay. I mean, fine. But you know, all I'm saying is, if you play the game well enough, people will feel terrorized to the point where they feel there is some sort of a threat to their county or state.
Oh, come on, man. Are you telling me some cat's going to go out of a gaming room and call the cops?
I said that they're not going to call the
game. This guy, I don't know where you got this guy, but...
No, man, I'm telling you, I got Modern Warfare 2 today, man. I've been playing it all day, and I terrorized the hell out of everybody, so you guys know what you're talking about.
I waited for 3 hours to get this game, and...
Yeah. Well, let me ask you that. Aaron, this is Phil. Is it a good game? Are you enjoying yourself? Prompting you to want to go out?
This game is amazing, and it's amazing because of the fact of it's so realistic. Because
I see.
It shows you what can happen in the real world. If this would really happen in the world, it shows there's a scene.
What are you asking this guy? This is what I've been saying the whole hour, man, and you're listening to him?
He's telling me something that is rooted in reality. He's saying it shows you what possibly could happen. It gives you a sense of what happens, but it doesn't. It is not actual terrorism, Jeff.
It's just like if you watch a movie that just gives you a feeling. It's not going to terrorize you. You're not going to go home and sleep over it.
You're not in the movie in this game. You're in the game. You just chopped up little kids. I've played that game, man. Guys are getting up. So a lot of times I'll stand over them, and I'll just keep firing bullets into them until, like, it severs, you know, until it severs the torso.
It's just for fun.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, listen, thank you for your call, man. It's good to get another review of that. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on here to Steven on the Phil Hendry Show with Jeff Dowder as we talk about Call of Duty 4. Steven, go ahead.
Hey, Jeff,
I don't think you're giving me enough. You're not giving me enough credit.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Hey. Does this guy still live with his mother? Or does he have anything better to do at this time?
I get that from a lot of people. I'm a competitive gamer. I win cash prizes.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Yeah. So that's making money.
Do you live at home, though?
Yeah, so, I live at home. Why did you think I live at home?
Because you said something about your sister going out to get her ears pierced. You said your sister's going to go get her ears pierced.
Who thinks in this day and age after 9/11 that terrorism is respectful or a useful tool? Are you kidding me? You're a useful tool.
If
you're a tool.
I'm saying I'm saying I'm a tool. If I go into an airport and start slaughtering people, who's the tool? Okay? And I'm saying my sister's getting her ears pierced at 10 on Saturday morning, okay? You come over to my house and watch me start slaughtering people.
How would you like if I came over to your house and started slaughtering your family? I mean, how would you feel about that? Is that a useful tool?
What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about going to an airport
and chopping people up.
In a game.
Yeah. Okay, so this guy just said he wants to come to my house, and that means he's going to get arrested and maybe killed. What would that do? I'm doing terrorism where you don't get arrested and you don't get killed.
But
now, who's smarter?
How can you even use terrorism as a useful word as an American here after what's happened in 9/11? How is that useful to you or anyone else?
Gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Are you an
American? You gotta do what you gotta do. Huh?
Are you an American?
I think so, yeah. Are you?
If you're an American,
are you?
I'm very much an American. But
okay,
you,
I'm
an American. You're not
you gotta do what you gotta do.
You're not using terrorism as a good word, buddy.
What happens if I get a kid over to my house who's a Muslim and I terrorize him? Okay, are you saying that's not good?
No, that's not good.
Why not? I'm an American, and I just did terrorism on him.
Dude, did you get picked on when you were a kid or something? I mean,
no, man. I asked a pretty good question. If I terrorized a Muslim with Call of Duty 4, which I could do easily.
These guys have been thinking what they're doing is right for 1,000 years. They think they're going to get.
I'm not talking about them, man. I'm saying using American style terrorism.
If you terrorize Muslims, well,
yeah,
you know what?
Using Call of Duty.
Excuse me.
Now you're saying I am terrorizing them. So you don't even know what you're
talking
about.
You're going to terrorize them. Fighting this war for years, they'll keep fighting for more. You think your philosophy is going to change anything? That's ridiculous, dude.
What about, man?
You need a life.
You said that I'm terrorizing a Muslim using a gaming system. That's American, and that's an American way of doing it.
You think that's
using
work?
A gaming?
You just said it would, because you were saying, "Oh man, you're going to be terrorizing a Muslim. What's that about?"
No,
so
you
admit that it will work.
You think you are?
I didn't say paralyzed.
Not,
I said
language, buddy.
No, dude, you just admitted to it, so, you know, I sunk that at the buzzer.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877, thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Hold the line here, Jeff. We'll be back with Jeff Dowder as he talks about Call of Duty 4, which is a game. It's a violent game. It's a graphically violent game. But Mr. Dowder feels it's so graphically violent that it makes you a terrorist when you play it, and anybody watching you play it is terrorized. And hence, it's very effective. You don't get arrested and you don't kill anybody. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Now, you mentioned I'm on with Jeff Dowder, final few minutes with your phone calls, 877-876-PHIL. And we have Jeff Dowder on the line with us as we talk about Call of Duty 4, or as it is known, officially, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, a graphic, violent game that shows an incident of terrorism in an airport. Now, you mentioned putting an ad on Craigslist.
Yeah, I put an ad out on Craigslist because I wanted somebody who was really, really a good, you know, a really proficient at Call of Duty 4, and I got a Muslim kid, and his game tag was, Allahu Akbar, and mine was Audie Murphy, so I'm thinking it's on, you know. So anyway, so I emailed his kid, I terrorized him all over the place. Okay, now, is that bad? On account of I'm terrorizing him for America. Okay.
That doesn't make any difference if he's Muslim or not. The question, Jeff, is can you honestly terrorize somebody with a game? And you've heard people say over and over and over again, it's a game. How can you terrorize somebody with a game?
And I've answered the question by saying it is so realistic. The graphics are so realistic. And when you see me play it, I'm butchering everybody inside. I'm machine gunning. You, man, I told you that I stand over people and I empty the magazine into them until it severs, until it severs them. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
So what, man? It's a video machine gun you're holding. It's not a real one.
But the sheer of what I'm doing, forget about it, the guy that I'm shooting is fake. It's me. What am I doing? I'm doing it so viciously and in a terrorism way that's the part that I'm saying.
So, all right, I'm sitting there with you Saturday morning. Your sister's getting her ears pierced. Your mom took her to the mall, so we have the house to ourselves.
Well, I'm not talking about, like, some gay hookup.
I understand that. Okay, so we're at your house.
Yeah, and I'm playing. You're sitting on the couch, okay? You're going to see me in a way that you'd never imagined that I would be. And I'm going through an airport and slaughtering people. You go right into the men's room, kick open the stall door, and there's a guy... sitting there, getting one done, and you just chop him up, next stall, and go down. You go to a laser. I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
And this is coming from a guy that would be arrested were it not for the fact that you don't want to have a bowel movement in front of other inmates.
Well, like I said, Mr. Henry, if you want to discredit my reputation in the gaming world, I mean, it doesn't hurt me.
Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jeff Dowder. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Phil. How's it going?
Good morning.
I have one
Good,
question
sir.
For you there, Jeff. Have you ever held a real weapon, fired a real weapon other than your gamepad? Because until then, you can't say what you're going to do. Okay?
That is a real weapon.
Real
you
person,
see me use it.
It's a gamepad. Come on, man. I was in the military. I've done it.
Yeah.
I know the feeling. You don't know nothing until you can actually hold a weapon in your hand, point it at a person, and pull that trigger. Other than that, I don't want to hear a word from you.
Hey,
it's
man.
It's a game, dude. It's a game.
No, if the effect is that it terrorizes a guy, okay, tell me about
you
it.
You ain't
going
to terrorize me with a game. I'll terrorize you with a weapon to your head. What are you going to do?
Oh, really?
Will I get arrested?
Hey, look at that.
Probably not. You're going to get caught.
You're telling me that if you sat next to me at my house and I'm cutting people up, left and right, and you're going, oh, well,
game,
yeah, I'm really
man.
Bored. I don't think so.
You don't know nothing until you can hold a weapon in your hand. Hey, thanks, Phil. This guy here is so,
fine, man. But how many people have you cut? How many people have you killed? Yeah, okay, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot.
I can't count that.
All right, thank you.
877-876-PHIL,
the world famous Phil Henry Show, coming back with news on that guy that got tasered 6 times in the Vatican and aliens and everything else.
Phil Henry. Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
We need to fix the problem so people don't have to worry about disengaging the engine.
I believe there are very outstanding, patriotic gay people who serve in the military.
And just when we thought the confidence couldn't get any higher.
I'm not big on the word police, but I will say this is bleeping retarded.
Don't condescend to me.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. This show, we take you through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. We give you an idea as to what's really going on with media, with the news, with events, and maybe with what you're thinking. Our number every night is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we also have, of course, our website, philhenryshow.com. That's like just part and parcel. I mean, you can't do one without the other. You can't have the phone number, bud.
Yeah, without the website.
Without the website. You must have the phone number or the website. Phone number, website. And the website, of course, has our PDF file right now. We're doing a site redesign where you can look at all of the affiliates that we have across the country, and you can tune into your local affiliate, and we're on so many wonderful stations and like that, man. Okay, so coming up tonight, Miley Cyrus's little sister, Noah Cyrus, has started, now dig this, the kid is eight, and of course she hasn't, there must be an adult or something behind this, but Miley Cyrus's little sister has started her own lingerie for kids line. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Joining us this evening to talk about this Noah Cyrus lingerie line. It's a very strange story. And just to give you guys the idea of where I come from with this stuff, it just bothers me. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, for instance, do I got to have an old lady on TV advertising a vibrator? Did you see that? Mr. Bozell, you there?
Yes, Phil, I am. What does that come to as a surprise? I've not seen that.
There's a commercial on television right now with some ugly, wrinkled-up old bags, and they're talking about vibrators. Why? Viagra. What the hell is that about? These four impotent old creeps playing guitars, singing about, oh, hey, isn't it great? I can get an erection. And the commercial is playing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon so kids can see that, so they can be disgusted by their fathers or their grandfathers or their uncles playing banjos and happy that they finally got an erection. And now we have this.
Well, I don't know about the other two.
And I realize I jumped in and gave you sort of a big... I guess I gave you a big broadside there, but isn't this Miley Cyrus, this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie, this is an eight-year-old kid. When is this going to end, you know?
Well, Phil, that's my point. You know, I'm a member of a teacher, or of a parent group at Corona KC Elementary School. My daughter went through elementary school there. My son went through elementary school there. And we're concerned about this. We don't think that. Just like you said, I don't think kids, you know, at what point do we have to turn our kids, turn them out, you know, and put them out on the street with a sign on them. From my way of thinking, it's wrong.
All right, now you're more familiar with this than I am. We do have the story, though, from the New York Daily News, and Stephen Bozell is joining us, a concerned parent from Corona, California, about this Noah Cyrus. This is Miley Cyrus's kid sister. She has a line of lingerie. Now, here is the story. Little girls across the nation may soon be able to dress like their older sisters thanks to a trendy and edgy new fashion line being launched by Miley Cyrus's kid sister.
And Phil, I was going to jump in. That's how they sell it. They call it edgy, and they call it trendy.
So the little kids are interested in it.
Yeah, so little girls get interested in it. And let me just say...
Before you do, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Steve, I'll finish just reading this.
Yes, sir.
A trendy and edgy new fashion line being launched by Miley Cyrus's kid sister Noah and her best friend, reports CocoPerez.com. And Emily Grace Reeves, who's the eight-year-old actress who played Cindy Lou in Hannah Montana, the movie, has teamed up with nine-year-old Noah, who I guess hasn't done anything yet, and Ooh La La Couture designers to create versatile styles that can be worn. Anyway, what are these clothes, Steve? Do you know?
Yes, sir. This is a lingerie line for little girls. They have a leopard print miniskirt that is very revealing. They also have lace stockings. And they have fingerless black gloves, that ensemble. That's, I guess, part of what Miley Cyrus looks like. And to me...
Have you seen any of these?
Yes, sir, I have, and I've seen some of the girls, little eight-year-olds, wearing them. And I got to tell you, you know, you see them wearing it, and you go, you know, look, you know, it's kind of distracting. And so that's why I have.
What do you mean distracting? I mean, you're looking at a little kid.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And if a little kid, I mean, talk about a little eight-year-old girl putting on a leopard print mini dress, and she got on them fingerless. If you've ever seen the models that wear those fingerless black gloves, they're already, you know, they look very hot on them. And now you got a little eight-year-old girl wearing it, and she's got on a miniskirt and everything. And boy, you get kind of distracted by all of that. So,
but what do you mean distracted, Steve? I don't understand. You're not somehow stimulated by this?
No, Mr. Henry. The point I'm trying to make here is that...
Well, when you say that the little girls are wearing, which I find to be, I'm sorry, you know, and I don't give a crap if someone thinks that I'm some kind of a prude. Jesus, as I've said many times in the show, once you hit 18, once you're an adult, man, you can do anything you want, look any way you want, be anything you want, live anywhere you want, put on any kind of a headdress you want, wear any kind of makeup. But a kid is a kid, you know.
That is exactly my point. And so when you see a little girl, and she's got on fingerless black gloves, she's got on a leopard miniskirt, she's got on some of it's a little bit see-through.
What's see-through?
Well, the lace stockings are see-through. And you go, man, that's definitely something to keep you awake at night. And so you imagine when a girl...
When you say it's going to keep you awake at night, what do you mean? With a little girl?
Not in essence a little girl. Please understand this, Jerry, because I don't want you to think that I'm...
Well, I know you're not, but what you're saying sounds... So tell me, when you're talking about... this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie for 8-year-old girls, what's your concern?
My concern is that it grows them up way too fast. These are little girls. They should be playing hopscotch. They should be doing all the things that you know that little girls do, you know, and playing jacks. And when you put them into a miniskirt and you put them into some kind of a lace stocking kind of thing and garter belts or whatever they're doing.
Garter belts?
I don't know, but they have this lingerie line. You're all of a sudden you've got men who are dropping their other kids off at school, taking a look at that. And, you know, they're going to stay at the curb a couple of minutes longer just to see what's going on.
But again, what you understand, what you're saying sounds as if you somehow enjoy it.
No, sir, I'm not.
When you say that the men are dropping their kids off are going to hang at the curb... A little.
Well, it's unusual, and it's any man is going to take a look, want to take a look, but
not any man. If it's a little 8-year-old girl wearing it, for God's sake, the first thing you're going to think is that's a child that I'm looking at there, and she's dressed as an adult, almost as if you're looking at a JonBenet Ramsey, right?
Well, these children are. They put on the lingerie. If you understand, a little girl puts on lingerie, or a little girl that puts on the fingerless gloves and everything, she's going to she going out the door. You know, she wants to get looked at. And
she's a child, though.
Yes, sir, she is absolutely a child. And you know, they're asking for it as well. They're not asking for it. But
whoa! When you say asking for it,
no, let me. What I'm saying is the parents are asking for it. If the child says, "I want to wear a bikini," you know, I want to get a mini skirt and have on stockings that you can look up, take a look at it. I mean, you know, they're begging. The parents are begging for it, and it is due. But the point that I'm
no, the kid isn't begging for anything. The kid is an 8-year-old kid. It's a kid. It's a little child. It's not responsible for anything. She's not responsible necessarily for her actions. She is a child. She is learning. The parents, yes, I'll give you that.
Absolutely. And so. I'm sitting at the curb, and I'm taking a look at it, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure you understand, man's going to linger a little bit, and I want to know whether these parents...
No, sir, I don't understand that. That's the whole point, you know.
Well, Mr. Trander, you know that...
No, I don't understand that, but I do agree with you that the parents that let their kid out the door in the Noah Cyrus lingerie to go to school in... haven't got a clue, and I'll give you that. But no, I'm not going to linger at the curb. I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm just saying that there's two victims. There's the child, and there are the fathers that are dropping the children off. They're victimized, too.
In what sense? Because of the kids wearing lingerie?
Because they don't want to be victimized. They're already victimized looking at, like, the teenage girls or even their wives' friends dressed that way. Now they're getting victimized for having a look at an 8-year-old as they drop off a kid. And so what we're saying at the elementary school is it's got to stop, and we have to stop the victimizations.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So Steve Bozell joins us from Corona, California, talking about his school, which is an elementary school, Corona KC, that may be happening in other schools, but this is very new. It is a lingerie line that has been launched by... ostensibly, she's a kid, so she didn't launch anything, but Noah Cyrus, who is Miley Cyrus's sister... She has a lingerie line in her name. This is an 8-year-old girl. Mr. Bozell says there are two victims. There is the child wearing the lingerie and the fathers who are looking at it as they're dropping their kids off. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your phone calls for our guest Steve Bozell up next. Are these kids asking to be stared at by adults? That's what Steve says. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher.
Hey, Phil, I really don't know where to start.
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask this racist pig you've got on there.
Hey, I'm not calling you any names. I'm not calling you a name. You got to start off calling me a name. Is that it? Is that how you want this to go? You want me to call you redneck? You want me to call you dumb redneck?
But I should.
Huh? I can't hear you over your CB radio, man. I can't hear you over that CB.
With the way you talk to that lady from Hawaii, I guess you're a male chauvinist pig too. And since you're such a
you sound like a dumb tobacco juice swallowing cracker. What do you feel like? Feel good about that?
At least I'm not just a hillbilly that interrupts people while they're
speaking. You are a hillbilly. You are a hillbilly. You tell me to shut up. No white man tell me to shut up.
All right, come on.
He's back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what is this picture? Phil Hendry here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. He's a father of an 8-year-old. Your daughter is 8, isn't that right, Steve? Well, I lost Steve. We'll get him back on the line here in just a second. But Mr. Bozell from Corona, California, he's got an 8-year-old daughter. Mr. Bozell, you there?
Yes, sir. My daughter, April Jr., is actually 12, Mr. Hendry. She's in the...
She's in the middle school now.
Yes, sir. But she did come through the... she came through the middle school. And the pictures that I just sent you... these are purported to be of this young, either it is Noah Cyrus or some models, and you can see the one girl is wearing like what looked like knee-high boots, and she's got on a black, miniskirt, and the other little girl...
The other little girl, it looks like she could be in a ballet. You see little girls in ballet dresses. That's not unusual.
She's got on, it's like black, and I don't know, she's got on gloves with no fingers. That right there is going to make it. Well, you're going to stop and maybe take a look at that. And
see, I'm uncomfortable with when you say I'm going to stop and take a look. I'm going to linger a while. That bothers me because it makes you sound as if you're interested.
No, sir, I'm not. No, I'm saying a natural reaction of some men, they would be revolted as they slow the car down and lean over to take a better look.
You're making it sound as if these guys are cruising and looking at these girls for something other than for information. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Cara with Steve Bozell. Cara, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Yes, ma'am. Good, thank you.
Mr. Bozell?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say I'm not a mom. I'm a long-distance stepmom to 4 teenage stepchildren. 3 are girls. And anyone that would allow their teenage or preteen child, their little girl, to wear adult clothing and clothing that is used primarily for adult pleasures needs to be slapped. That, in my opinion, as a woman, I tuned in a little bit ago and I heard this and I was like, what the beep, beep, beep.
It's a Miley Cyrus deal, and her sister Noah's got a whole line of lingerie where the girls are dressed in stockings and all of this.
What the hell are their parents thinking?
I don't know, ma'am, because you see, if you're a man dropping a little kid off and you see a little girl, you're going to take a look at that, and, it gets your heart moving a little.
Whoa, that's the part that I don't like about. What do you mean it gets your heart moving?
No, I'm saying.
I'm looking at
a little girl. I don't want to see my daughter dressed like that because automatically you see a little, any woman dressed
with.
I don't want to even see my stepdaughter that's in
not
a
Navy woman.
Dress like that.
That's
oh
not
God,
a woman.
That
that's
death.
A. Okay, Kara, that,
I mean,
Kara, your stepdaughter's. Wait, Kara, your stepdaughter's in the Navy. She's an adult, and you're like really weirded out by an adult woman dressing that way. It's
no,
I'm just saying,
I wouldn't even want to. I mean,
okay, yeah,
my stepdaughter,
well, I'm just
my
saying
teenage stepdaughter.
I don't like it, and it excites me. It doesn't excite me, but
that's the part that's bothering me. It excites you?
No, I'm saying I don't want to see a little girl dressed that way.
I would find that kind of lingerie in my stepdaughter,
right.
My teenage stepdaughter.
Thank you, Kara. Yeah, thank you for your call, but it's a little weird for you to be upset by an adult woman wearing that. Here is Oliver in Indianapolis. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Phil? Love the show.
Don't worry about it. Thank you.
I got to tell you, this gentleman
the lady was wrong.
sounds like he's trying to suppress some sort of natural feelings he has. It sounds as though he says
I'm not going to suppress natural feelings.
Would be titillated by seeing a little girl dressed like this.
No, sir.
Well, that's what you're saying, because you're saying, you know, you're going to slow down and lean over and check it out.
Proper reaction is horror and disgust. It's not lingering to determine
that's
whether
exactly
that girl is
right.
actually 18 that, when she's 3 foot
know
two.
You know you're going to want to take. I agree with you, but you know you're going to want to take a look.
What does that mean?
Want to take a look? What do you mean?
If you look at a woman that she's showing, she's giving you.
It's not a woman, man. You understand? It's not a. There's a woman, and then there's a kid.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
You're looking at a kid, a little girl. It's somebody dolled up to look like an adult.
Right, and that will throw you because all you'll see is, you know, the skirt.
A three foot two child.
I don't know if
you remember. It's clearly not a woman, regardless of what she's wearing. It's evident.
What do you mean? What do you mean he wasn't in the service?
Well, I don't know if this gentleman was ever in the service, but 3 foot 2 ain't going to slow anybody down, you know.
What does that mean? Are you talking about children?
No, sir, I'm not. No, sir. I'm saying that in the South, in Asia, when I was in Japan. No, not kids, but women that size.
No, we're talking about kids. And you're saying that you are slowing down or lingering or leaning over and checking them out, or, boy, that distracts you. That was the first word you used. You said a girl, a little 8-year-old child dressed in lace stockings and fingerless black gloves will distract you.
I think it's normal for a man to go, you know, boy, look, check that out, you know.
Even if it's an 8-year-old kid.
I think you guys have made this about me, and it's not really about me.
All right. Anyway, I appreciate your call tonight. I think your name was Scott, right? Or is it Culver? Who am I speaking with here? Culver? Oliver. Dude, sorry, man. I can't read. I can't see. 877-876-PHIL. Tell you what, we're going to have more phone calls when we come back from the break. And I didn't mean to talk to the lady about how, you know, but it's not unusual. We're not talking about adults wearing this.
No, we are not. That is totally normal, and certainly.
Well, what happens if you see an adult wearing something like this, an adult woman?
That's you're not going to notice that because that's normal. But if I see a little 8-year-old girl, you know, if I'm driving down the road, yes, of course I'm going to slow the car down, and, you know, put my arm on the passenger side seat and kind of look over. And
you're going to slow the car down and look over if it's a kid, but not an adult.
Because you're used to seeing it.
All right, Stephen Bozell is with us. He says he doesn't like this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie for 8-year-old girls, but he says it's very distracting to see him dressed that way. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You're misunderstanding everything I'm saying.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The story here, Steve, I'm looking at the New York Daily News, but I guess this was in something called CocoPerez.com, which I don't know. What is that, a gossip site?
Well, yeah, that's a gossip. It's on MSN.
that Noah Cyrus, who is the younger daughter of Miley Cyrus, or the younger sister, I should say, of Miley Cyrus, has a lingerie line. Now, the lingerie line for eight-year-old girls is what you're talking with us about, and it's what you and I are discussing. Is it appropriate? I don't think it is, and I think you agree with me.
Yes, sir.
All right, but what I don't understand is the point of view that you're having, which is as follows. You need to understand, Mr. Henry, that when a man is dropping his kids off at school and he sees a nine-year-old girl get out of a car dressed in lingerie, he's going to linger for a while.
If you look at it, first of all, it's not about the nine-year-old girl, and you're misunderstanding me. You think that I'm attracted, you know, I want to look and, you know, I'm sure, yeah, right, I want to, you know, be all attracted to a nine-year-old girl. I'm not going to do anything like that, but first thing you see is a high-heel shoe and a leg with lace. You're going to, if you're a normal man, you're going to say, you know, hey, you know, check out and see check who's playing shortstop or something like that. You know,
no, if I'm at an elementary school and I see a little tiny kid get out of a car.
No, but I'm just talking about the leg, just the leg.
The leg is of a nine-year-old girl.
I don't think you're being fair. All you're looking at is a lace-covered leg.
And by the way, she's not wearing high heels. She's probably wearing a sneaker.
All right, well, sneaker's the same thing, but you're going to go, good morning, little schoolgirl. I'm not saying...
Good morning, little schoolgirl. I applaud that you don't want to see this stuff on kids. I just wonder your own reaction. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're distorting it to make me look like I'm some kind of guy that wants to stand on a corner and open up a raincoat and hope I forgot to wear pants. That's not... I don't know what I'm saying here.
Well, if it isn't, sir, it's sounding like it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Eric in Houston, Texas. Eric, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. We're talking about Noah Cyrus. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to try to stay calm here because this guy's got me so upset, Mr. Bozell. I understand what he's saying. He's trying to say a normal man is going to see an eight-year-old in some lingerie and he's going to take a second look. You are mistaken, dude.
Correct.
Only a sick man would do that.
Talk about lingerie. Lingerie.
Only a sick man would take a look, or his heart would pound, or he would take. I don't know what you're suggesting, but man, to suggest a normal man would look at an 8-year old. I don't care what she's wearing.
No, sir.
That's what you just said. You said a normal man would look at an 8-year
old. I didn't say my heart would pound. I said that my hands might sweat a little bit,
Your hands would sweat.
What? Would not sweat, dude. You need help. If your hands would sweat, you need to go help. I don't understand how a man like you gets on the radio. You are sick.
No, I'm saying I don't want to see children
help.
In this. I don't want to see children wearing
help.
These clothes. Well,
look,
sir,
this is the first
do you remember
time
Shirley Temple? Do you remember
Mr.
Shirley Temple?
Mr.
You tell me that you didn't,
I'm not,
tell
I'm
me
not
you didn't,
even.
Tell me you
I'm
didn't
not
get
even.
Excited. Well, not excited when you saw Shirley Temple.
What are you talking about, Shirley Temple?
I know.
You know
who
full
is
well.
This guy? Phil, who
sir,
is this guy?
Sir,
this guy's
I don't
an idiot.
Want people. I don't want little girls wearing that clothing. That's what
yeah,
I said.
But then you're saying.
You just said your hands would get sweaty if you saw an 8-year-old in some lingerie. I don't care if I saw a naked 8-year-old. My hands ain't gonna sweat, dude. You are crazy.
Well, but you don't agree. Or don't you agree with me that they shouldn't wear that?
It doesn't,
well,
Steve. Yes, we do
agree.
But the motivation that you seem to have, and that we have a motivation that is to protect these children from what to me is this predatory fashion and advertising industry, and your motivation is so that you don't get tempted.
No, I never did. Look, Shirley Temple never tempted me. I just brought up Shirley Temple, and I was able to look at that.
You were able to look at what?
Steve, don't you understand that a man, if a man's hand, any man, if his hands are going to sweat when he sees an eight-year-old in lingerie, just hear me out, he's not a normal man, he's a sick man. Do you understand that?
I didn't say my hands are going to sweat. I said some guys. And I said, are you telling me?
No, some guys are sick. Do you
yes,
understand
exactly,
that point?
Exactly. But
well,
Steve, when you said that,
a normal man's not going to look at an 8-year-old when his hands are going to sweat. I'm sorry.
Why do you think the little girl wears why do you think she wears a thong? Because she wants to attract men.
What do you mean a thong? What do you mean a thong? They're wearing thongs?
Well, they must be wearing thongs. I mean,
no.
Oh, for God's sake!
Eight-year-old man, Phil, you need to get this guy.
All right, look, here's
there.
What we do
I mean,
is.
I'm the one that's trying to get him to take the bones off and get it out of here.
I don't understand how hey, look, with all due respect, sir, I don't understand how somebody with your intellect gets on the radio. I'm sorry. You got me so upset that
I'm actually listening to somebody
like you on the radio.
I'm opposed to it.
Mr. Bozell, you could say you're opposed to it, and then you turn around and you say, hey, yeah. I was able to resist Shirley Temple. That doesn't make me feel good, Steve. That makes me feel like maybe there's something wrong with you.
I got on your program with the best of intentions, and now you're making me look like I'm standing on a street corner.
No, you are making yourself look like that, sir. Sir, you're making yourself look like that. You don't understand that if a man would look at a woman like you suggesting, that's a sick man. And you said that's a normal man.
You said a man looks at a woman. I'm talking about an eight-year-old girl.
He misspoke.
Look, you said that.
If I look at a woman dressed like that, it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, that's a little weird.
You said if fathers go to schools and drop their girls off, and there's some 8-year-olds in lingerie, that they're gonna take a second look. And I'm saying you crazy.
That's weird.
Fathers do that. That's some sick fathers that would do
all
that.
All right, Eric, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Steve, nobody's trying to gang up on you here. I'm asking you to look at your motivation.
Well, that's all you're doing, Mr. Henry. Let the record show, since I got on your program here at 7, not 7, but 10, I'm looking if I got the right time here. Yes, at 10. 10:00. You have tried to.
We brought you on at about 10:08.
You're saying 10:08.
Yeah.
Okay, let me reset. 10:08.
Sir, the time that I brought you on is not important. What's important here is what you've said.
I came on saying that the Noah Cyrus lingerie line was perverted, was sick and twisted and wrecked, and you come on, and the first thing you did is say, "Oh, what's the matter? Are you getting off on it and everything?" And
well, no, I didn't say that,
sir. That was the intimation.
But you were saying to me, "Boy, you see a girl wearing an 8-year-old girl wearing lingerie. Boy, you're going to slow down. You know, you take a look. You know,
if you're an 8-year-old boy, yeah." I didn't say anything about.
Yes, you did. You said the fathers.
I meant an 8-year-old boy who would be dropping off his. Well, I know they're not old enough to drive, but if they're in the car.
No. That's not what you said. I'm sorry, sir. I can roll the tape back if you'd like. Here is Karen on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead.
I would like to hear that tape, yes, sir.
Hey, here is Karen. Go ahead, Karen. Hi. Right.
I've been listening to this Steve guy. I've listened to his show actually a couple of times, and I think he's been on here a couple of times. Quite honestly, he sounds like a pervert, if you ask me. And as for being highly intellectual, as your last guest would imply, I don't think he's of high intelligence, because no one of high intelligence would speak like this man is speaking. And as for the kids, would he feel better if we put him in PJs instead of calling it lingerie? I don't care what an 8-year-old kid wants to wear. I agree they shouldn't be let out, maybe looking slutty. But what difference does it make? Why does that give him the right to sit here and be distracted or hang over? I think they should put him in jail. Forget the kid.
Put me in jail. What about the mother that lets her child, lets her daughter walk out there like she's a $500 a half hour hooker and she's 8?
Hey,
what about that
what?
Mother?
You know what? I've seen boys
so
walk in and they play in their underpants.
Oh.
What's the difference? Do I stand there and stare at the boy in his underpants?
Excuse me? Any mother that would send a daughter out into the world looking like a $500 every 30-minute hooker, in my opinion, belongs in to be waterboarded. I mean, I hate to say it. Waterboarding, right?
I don't think your opinions are worth much, quite frankly. I think you're the pervert. You're the one who simply stands outside and be distracted by an 8-year-old. And
here is music. Yeah, I'm saying any mother that would dress. I bet you're the kind of woman that dresses your kid like she's going to stand on a street corner and say what it is to the first guy going by in a two-tone. Now, you can hear this music here. I bet you do. Here's music.
This is getting very personal, Steve.
Well, this lady's talking. Do you hear this music, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
This is called runway music. This is fashion show music. The children are forced to hear this while they're putting on these, you know,
no child's being forced to listen to any music, Steve. You're making it up.
You know an awful lot about this. You know an awful lot about this, ma'am. I'm getting a little nervous about you now. You're all, oh, it's okay. And...
Hey, you know what? It's a free society. People should be able to walk around and look like they want without people like you staring at them.
8-year-old children, since when do they make the decision to dress like sluts? I'll tell you, you know when. When their mothers
dress
like
sluts. Your opinion
that
they dress like a slut.
You think a little 8-year-old girl ought to wear a leotard with a no crotch and everything?
I think an eight-year-old should feel anyway. That's what I think.
I got to tell you, Karen, this is Phil. I don't even know what you're talking. Are you saying that mothers that dress their daughters in lingerie, that's cool? Is that what you're saying? Because
no,
I don't even know that I like
cool.
your point of view any more than Steve. Well, what are you talking about then? Because
yeah, you tell her, Mr. Henry.
No, and I don't like what you're saying either.
Well, it's too bad.
I don't like
what Steve is saying. He's a pervert. He's a racist.
Well, I'm asking you, think it's okay for a mother to dress a little girl in stockings like this?
You know what?
An 8-year-old child?
I don't think it's appropriate. But I also don't think it's appropriate that Steve turn around and hang out the window and be distracted.
I agree. I agree with you there.
I agree with you. What's the difference if a little boy runs around in his underwear with his shirt off? Am I, as a woman, going to stand out and look at him and gawk at him and get all whatever?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe.
So what's
maybe
the difference? Is it just a female?
Maybe you are.
Is that the problem?
Wait a minute. I agree with the lady here, Steve. I don't agree with you saying that you're going to linger, okay?
Well, she just said she's going to check out a kid wearing underwear. Oh, man.
I said, what's
the difference?
If he had a little boy out there in underwear? What, because it's a girl?
Exactly.
You got to gawk? I don't gawk at 8-year-olds.
Oh, wow. You're going to check a kid out wearing briefs and nothing more.
No, she didn't say that. Look, Karen, I got your point. Thank you very much for clarifying for me. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. What the hell is that, bud?
That's music.
Will you turn that garbage off? Stephen Bozell talking to us about Noah Cyrus, the little sister of Miley Cyrus, who has had her name associated with a new line of lingerie for kids. And we're speaking with Mr. Bozell, who's come on our program, to say that he doesn't like it. He doesn't want kids dressing that way, and we agree with him. And he's gone on to say that it's distracting for men to see a little girl dressed like that. And that's a problem for us. 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls with Steve Bozell here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You stuck up for that lady, and she wants to look a little boy in bun huggers.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
Phil Henry.
Never too old, yeah!
Little kid running around in bun huggers, she's checking it out.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and with me is Stephen Bozell. I'm listening to music here. What is this? Steve?
Phil, this is another example of what we were talking about. This is music from a fashion show music. The children are basically told to listen to it. What I've done is I've downloaded pictures of the Miley Cyrus lingerie onto my computer because my daughter wanted to see what it looked like. I've probably got about 70 or 80 pictures of it, and I now want to delete them because I feel uncomfortable having that much of, you know, in one place, or not one place, but having all that on my computer. And
you're uncomfortable having a Miley Cyrus lingerie. Now, technically, it's not porn because it's being... will you please turn that music off?
But that's the fashion show music.
I don't want to hear fashion show music, okay?
But that, again, that's the music the children are forced... Not forced, but they are told when you put on a pair of underwear or whatever you're going to wear and then go down the runway. And I've downloaded music. I've probably got 30 or 40 cuts of this music.
That's fine. Thank you very much. We're just talking about the pictures. You've got Miley Cyrus, you've got Noah Cyrus pictures, and it's of lingerie, and it's appeared in advertisements, and it's part of a reputable company's ad campaign. So it's not porn. It's not child porn. We feel it is very inappropriate to dress children this way. Why were you nervous having these pictures?
I think any man would be nervous having that much. I mean, in one location. You want to spread it out.
Why? Why would I want to, quote, spread it out?
Be-
because if you, it's not porn, and yes, you're right. But if the authority, if the police, if they come in, if you've got a computer,
why would the police come in if all you're looking at is Miley is Noah Cyrus in lingerie, which is a inappropriate use of a kid, in my opinion. Nonetheless, it's not porn.
Yeah, I'm hedging my. I think any man would hedge his bets.
Hedge his bet. Everything you've been saying on my show tonight, Mr. Bozell, with the exception of playing that fashion show music, and even that is a little weird, has been suspect as far as I'm concerned. Here's Carrie in Wichita, Kansas. Carrie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. I believe that the children should dress more age appropriate. And that's the only thing I'm going to agree with this guy on. I would hate to see how he would react around a water park because he's a freak. Anybody who would slow their damn car down and put their arm and however he was describing it to take a second look and to linger.
Exactly.
You need to check yourself in someplace and you need to get some help because you're messed up in the head. And I would call social services and have some counselors come out and talk to your daughter and make sure you haven't messed with her. You freak me out.
Hold on just for just a second here, friend, because you're making some charges here. Now,
you freak me
out. Well, Steve.
Why should I? What, are you dressed up in lingerie like you're 8 years old? Oh, okay.
Well, you know what, Steve? You can be funny if you want, but what the gentleman is saying, it caused me concern. What do you mean slow the car down?
You understand, and this man understands. You're going to slow down and lean over and take another look.
If it's an 8-year-old
I'm
kid
not.
Is what we're talking about.
You're not. Well,
no.
What? What are you talking about?
An 8-year-old kid is what we're talking about. Why would you slow the car down and check that out?
I'm not saying that I'm going to do anything. I'm saying it confuses you.
Looking is doing. Looking is thinking. You need to check yourself in and get some help.
I know. You've got a whole set of rules that you want the whole world to work. I just don't go by
exactly.
your rules.
Exactly. I have an 8-year-old daughter. And if I saw somebody you slowing the car down and taking a second look and lingering, I'm going to do something. I'm going to freak out.
That way? Are you going to let your daughter dress like that? Are you going to let your daughter dress like that?
I told you in the beginning. I think kids should dress age appropriate. That is the only thing I agree with you on.
Then I won't slow down.
Well, don't slow down anyway. Don't slow down anyway.
If it's an instinct, what am I supposed to do?
Then this is what the man's saying.
Then you need
a doctor.
Check yourself in.
You need a doctor.
Check myself into a... you're talking about a lunatic asylum?
Somewhere.
That takes a pair.
Hey. A lunatic asylum. We're talking about talk to a professional, Steve, if you're slowing down and checking it out.
I just got done saying, I don't think kids should wear crotchless panties or whatever.
Oh, for God's sake. Will you get to...
What?
We're talking about the Noah Cyrus line. Is that what she's selling?
I don't know, Mr. Hendry. I don't know.
Well, if she somebody ought to place him under arrest. Carrie, thanks for your call, and we'll take one more here from Ed. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'd just like to tell this fellow, I don't think he needs to check into an asylum. I think he escaped from one. If I was behind him, he's pervert.
I didn't escape from asylum. I've got a home, and I've got two kids,
man,
and I don't want to see anything
Let me tell you something, man. No. If I was behind you in a line and I seen you turn around and start talking that dad come 8-year-old girl, I'd snatch you out of that car. You're a pervert.
And you're going to snatch me out for what? Because I'm saying, hey, look, that kid's dressed inappropriate.
No, you're staring at an 8-year-old girl. You're staring at an 8-year-old girl. A girl, man. I don't care. You was talking about some girl. You was talking about her legs and fish stockings a little while ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you were.
You're a pervert.
It's gonna slow you down, isn't it?
Man, let me tell you something. I'm a normal guy.
There's no way on God's green earth
that I'm gonna turn around and look at an 8-year-old girl.
I don't care. You wouldn't get on your knees for that.
Get on your knees for it.
You're sick.
You're misunderstanding everything.
I ain't misunderstand you in nothing, man. You talking about gawking at an 8-year-old girl.
No, sir.
You're talking about staring at one. Man, I heard what you said. You sat there and repeated it.
They said there's a new girdle line for 8-year-old girls, what I was saying.
No, we're not going about that, man.
Yeah, no, they said
what
that
you said was...
Phil Hendry.
That's what they said.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.